name of the one holy and living God. Amen. Please be seated. Well, friends, we made it. We have come through the valley of the shadow of death with Jesus and emerged from the tomb. He is resurrected. He is not dead anymore. He is somehow, unfathomably, alive again. I say unfathomably, even though we all know why we're here. We've been celebrating this day for thousands of years. And a week ago, we entered Holy Week knowing what was to come. That Jesus would be celebrated by the masses, and then the state and religious authorities of the day colluded to have him executed for speaking a liberating truth to the people. A truth that most people in power don't want the average person to hear. We're free. That the laws of this world are not the ultimate arbiters of our goodness, of our worthiness, of our belovedness. That we are equal to the powerful, because ultimately, we all will come to the same inevitable end. Death as the great equalizer means the structures of power in the world are just make-believe. They're fantasy. We are not beholden to those who hold the power in this world. And in his resurrection, Jesus has provided us with eternal life, so that even death is destroyed. The light came into the world, and darkness did not, cannot, overcome it. The truth is that God has made us free. In the Passion narrative that we read on Good Friday from John's Gospel, we hear Jesus say, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Pontius Pilate asks him, "What is truth?" We ask it too, "What is truth?" We seem to be living in two very vast and different realities as Americans today. It seems like it's by design. A people divided can't stand together very well against those who seek to oppress others to increase their own power. And so we are fed contrasting views and versions of what we should think or feel or fear. A recent study shows that we tend to stick with our own. After being asked their feelings on a topic, people were then told that a particular political party felt that way, and a painfully high number changed their answer to align with their political party rather than stick with their own convictions. Critical thinking and examination are on the chopping block, it seems, and our common humanity is at risk because of it. This is true of Christianity, too. In the name of Jesus, a profound amount of harm has been done throughout time and space, and it's certainly no less prevalent today. The conversations I most often have with non-believers is about how they've been treated by the purported followers of Jesus. And so they had to sever ties with the church, and therefore, often, with Jesus, too, because the wounds are too deep. The truth they were sold was a false one, trying to convince them, and too many, that somehow any of us is powerful enough to put ourselves beyond God's profound and miraculous love. So I have good news. You are not that powerful. None of you are that powerful. We cannot put ourselves beyond God's love. No one can. And even better news, we can't put anyone else beyond it either. Those powers that be which seek to divide us are constantly yelling about how awful people on the other side are. Those who benefit from our divisions want us to feel like whoever is on that other side in our lives is less than human, deserves less regard or respect or dignity. And what Jesus showed us by extending his arms on the hard wood of the cross was that no one is beyond him. God's love for the world is complete. Every person is a child of God, and no one is beyond his transformative love. That is the truth of the cross. So the question becomes, if it's the truth, what are we going to do about it? If we gave ourselves a moment, a couple moments, to let that miracle actually be the miracle, what might occur? I realize this might be asking a lot because you don't know me and I don't know you, but I wonder if you could take a moment and put yourself in this miracle. Bring to mind someone dear to you, someone so dear to you, being gone, being taken from you. And then somehow being alive again 3 days later. Can we attempt to make this personal somehow so that our astonishment gets into our bones for real? So instead of it happening out there some 2,000 years ago, it's happening within each one of us? We can have this experience of awe and gratitude and wonder. Take a moment. Imagine the feeling. That wonder that we experience, that's love, friends. That's God's unbounded love, God's liberating love, God's unstoppable love. And it's for you, and it's for the whole world. Here's some additional good news. When we can really experience the wonder of that love, that deep and freeing and complete and unconditional love for each and every one of us, it activates us. It activates us toward becoming people who want to work to assure that every person gets to feel that love too. That's how love works. It's generative, creating more and more of itself in an ever-expanding circle of care and hope. And we share it with each other. The caution point, of course, is that the opposite is also true. When love is absent, we all suffer deeply. For instance, we know that over 400 anti-transgender bills have been introduced in the last 15 months around this country. And on this International Day of Trans Visibility, we're called to remember that transgender people are children of God too, equally as beloved as anyone else, just as they are. How will we stand in solidarity with them to help them feel safe and loved? Additionally, as most of us know, over 35,000 Palestinians have been killed in the past 6 months, and countless others are starving in the Holy Land. How will we, as Christians, who believe in God's love for all, stand with our siblings of the Jewish faith, who are in pain for those held hostage, but who are also crying out against the atrocities being committed? Last week on Palm Sunday, I reminded us that we had to face the death of Jesus for the resurrection to mean anything. That same sort of truth applies when we look at those suffering in the world. We cannot fully celebrate resurrection until we are all resurrected together, the whole human family. We belong to each other, dear ones. Because Christ died and was raised again to make us all free. As we celebrate resurrection together in this place, in this time, we must find a way to straddle the line between celebration and acknowledgement. Acknowledgement that indeed not all are free. That there are many who know nothing of resurrection today, who would give anything to be here with us filled with the spirit of new life. This day, this celebration, this is our empowerment, this is our emboldening to step forth and serve those who need us most, to trust the truth that God's unfathomable miracle was indeed for the whole world. He is risen. We are risen. God, now grant us the courage to help others toward their resurrections too. Amen.